It is nice to be together today, and again, for those faces that I do not yet know, I did try and just run around and get to know a few people, but it's lovely to have you with us, and yeah, I hope that this doesn't feel like just another meeting, but it really, there should be a sense of family among us, and that's actually what I'm wanting to share on today. And so what I'm going to do is, you would have noticed that we kind of cut the announcements, so I'm going to try my best to weave one or two of the announcements through, and what I feel God is actually saying the season that we're in. And I said to Henry, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could actually weave that into a message? And so today is going to be a little bit more of a teach than a preach. Which isn't my natural leaning, and yet I'm excited about it because it's on something that I'm very passionate about, and I think what we should all be passionate about. And so for those who are in the prayer meeting, you guys would know, but really wanting to just touch on God's house, and actually what it looks like to be members of God's house, and so specifically membership this morning. We've had quite a lot of people ask, many of you guys actually ask, okay, cool, so we love what we're seeing, we love the fact that we can feel there's a family dynamic, and we're getting to meet during the week, and it's not about just Sunday church, and so how do we become part, how do we become members? And so today, there's one or two things that I want to touch on that I think have been not so healthy, which we need to steer away from, and actually come back to, well, what does the Bible say about these things? And so, is that cool with everyone? Cool, because if it's not, I think I'm in a spot of trouble. You know, as we've been asked so many questions around just how do I become a member? And so one of the things I wanted to kind of illustrate, just to give us a bit of an understanding as to what this would look like this morning, is ultimately, if we leave here today, there should be an understanding in our hearts of what it looks like to go from this, which is a regular attendee or a visitor, for those of you who have maybe just been handed this today. Who was handed one of these many Sundays ago and is still here? Okay, don't be shy, it makes us look bad. Okay, awesome, there are a few, that's good. And then what it looks like to eventually get to this, which is worship sheets. It resembles a membership form. Okay, I didn't have anything else. So you are supposed to be worshipers too. We're all called to worship. So I'm just using it as an illustration just to help us consider the in-between and actually what God, the journey that God has us on. And so there's a few things that I'm going to touch on today. But ultimately, we're going to come back to the fact that actually there's a lot that the Bible says around the topic of membership. And this is not something that has just been orchestrated by man, but actually we need to come back to the root of what this looks like and the way that God's designed it. And so that, like any kind of form or membership, there are T's and C's that apply, and that is scripture. We can't come with our own understanding of what we think it should be, because man's been trying to do that since Adam, and we've messed it up ever since. And so we need to come back to the manual, the T's and C's, scripture, God's word. What does he say about it? And so this morning I'm going to touch on three aspects. And if you can remember, I'm trying to break this down to make it as easy as possible. But I'm going to touch on three aspects that I think are most important when considering church membership. And the first one is that we're here to reflect him, not us. That's number one. We are here to reflect him, not us. Number two is, this is a family, a place where people should be able to belong and to contribute. And number three, there is a spiritual covering that you come under when you give of yourself in this way. And so those are the three. It's going to be the reflection, the family, and the covering. And I'm hoping not to take too long on this morning. So when it comes to reflection, understanding membership, we are here to reflect him, his image, not our own. And so, you know, we use terminology like, well, have you joined the church? And I think it's important to come back to the fact that, yes, there is a church to be joined. Because it seems like the general consensus amongst believers these days is that actually, well, we're just drifters. We're drifters. We drift from one into one thing and out the next, and we kind of come and go as we please. And that's not what I see in God's word. It's not what I see in God's word. And so we're going to have a look at that. But we need to understand that this is, in a sense, this is a representation of Christ's body. And there isn't a loose affiliation to this thing. That's what man's brought in. That is what man's brought in, is actually we get to decide how this looks. And actually, it's a representation of God's body. And so we've got to understand that Christianity was never meant to be a solo sport. It was never meant to be a solo sport. It was always team. It was always, the Bible, in fact, was actually always written to a community. And when it wasn't written it was written to a person, it was always about a community. And so we need to understand that actually, you know, through our lens, we love to look at it with our individualistic mindset, and we view everything in the Word through that. But actually, we have to come back to the fact that God has placed us together. And most of what is written in the Word was to community, to either to a community or about a community. And so Jesus prayed this prayer in John 17:21. I don't know if I gave you that one. Sorry, but there will be some missing. But we should know this. John 17:21, and he prayed this. He said that all of them, who's them? Us, okay? Believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And so we actually come to an understanding that this goes so much far past what we could ever think. It's not just about our little context or us as individuals, but it's so that the world may know. And ultimately, Jesus was saying two things there. He was going, Father, that their relationships would look something like our relationship, Lord. Have you given thought to what their relationship looks like, as in the Father and the Son and the Spirit? Three distinct persons, one divine essence. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit's not the Father. But the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. Three distinct persons. And I think if we come to an understanding that actually, you know, us as individuals, we may carry an aspect of God, but alone will never reflect Him in His fullness. We need to get that into us. That actually alone, because I think there's so many different understandings of, well, I can just, you know, it's me and Jesus, you know. And whilst it is, yeah, it is, can be you and Jesus, but it's also others. And alone, we carry an aspect of what God looks like, something of His nature, but together we reflect something that is of His nature, which is in part three in one, actually. So in our coming together, do we view it in that way? And so maybe you're here this morning and you're going, Mike, that's all cool, but you know, I have nothing in common with these people. That's okay. I think there's probably people I would naturally connect with here, and there was people that, you know, I think just look to your left and right. You're going like, oh my goodness, God. That we have now got to reflect, like, your relationship with this person sitting next to me? Like, seriously? You know? And I think that's a hard thing to grasp, but I don't think what he's asking is for us to be best friends, okay? He might just be asking that, just as though if I consider a Peter and a Matthew, you know, a fisherman and a tax collector. I don't think they were in the same, I was going to say, I don't think they were in the same boat. They were in the same boat, okay. That's maybe why Peter climbed out of it, yeah. But I don't think they were best buds, you know. I think they formed a relationship over time, but there was definitely a sense of Jesus at the center which helped with that. And so what we're talking about here in terms of our relationships sitting next to one another and to others that you don't yet know is that we walk in here, we actually should have Christ's mind in us to be able to go, you know what, I may never be best friends with Miriam. And that's okay. But man, Lord, you need to help me love her. It's actually only through you that I can love her. And that actually over time, as long as there is love between us and there's a sense of, well, I have the same heart, same mind, same vision. Because I don't think the Father, Son, and Spirit thought any differently. Same heart, same mind, same vision. Does that look like the church that we see today? I don't think it does, if I'm honest. I sat in a meeting 2 weeks ago. I'm going to try not to digress too much this morning because I would like to send this on to those aren't here. I sat in a meeting a couple of weeks ago where someone said, isn't it nice, you know, that they can go to the church, this church for that, and then, well, then they can come into you for that. And I said, I said to Stace afterwards, something pained in my heart because it felt like we were cheapening the house of God. It was like different strokes for different folks. Pick and choose as you will. No, it's not what the Bible says. Jesus is not confused about the bride he's coming back for. He knows exactly how he wants it to look. And he's asking us that we would ready her, as in us, in a way that when he gets back, we can stand before him, the church, in all her glory, for the groom that is long awaiting her. That is long awaiting her. So this is not for different strokes for different folks. This is not T's and C's apply on some things and not others because, well, that doesn't suit me. No, work that out of you. That's what the world's worked in. God knows exactly how he wants his church to look. And so we need to be in agreement on some of these things before we look at membership. Because actually we can't have the value system of the world in the church. It's not going to work. And how can two men walk together if they don't agree? And so the second point we need to understand when it comes to membership is this is a family where people can belong and contribute. This is not about me up in front here and then next week Henry and then some guys setting up sound and a few guys packing out curtains. That's beautiful. I love the fact that guys are playing their part, but there is a sense of us in our togetherness that God's after. That's not just about the guys who are ministering unto the Lord and while we're here to feed. And we'll look at that more in time. But the second part of Acts, we read this is in Acts 2:47, where it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we see this principle of actually 12 walked with Jesus. And then he went to the cross. 120 waited in the upper room after Jesus said, go and wait. The Holy Spirit falls, changes the world forever. Later, Peter gets up and preaches to the multitude. 3,000 give their lives to the Lord. And so we see this picture of multiplication. And so sometimes we're not after the number, but it does help us get a context for what God's doing on earth. Okay, and that ultimately, I think if 3,000 people came in here and gave their life to the Lord, I often say, we only heard about the 3,000. I wonder how many were there. How many actually could have responded? And now these are people from all regions. So when those 120 were filled with the Spirit, those Jerusalem was packed with people. It's like God's plan in it. It was amazing. If you see the wonder, actually, of his church and the way that he orchestrated it. And so what happens, we read later on in Acts 7 and 8, that the first persecution hits the church with Stephen stoning. And all of a sudden, scatter. So all of a sudden, it's like people have been impacted and sent. And we see all these little contexts. But meanwhile, the Lord is busy adding to the first church in Jerusalem. And he said that. He said, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, Samaria. So what happened after the stoning of Stephen? The word spread, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here we sit, Asmantine, Langebaan. Replication of that. Still going. And so when I look back and we often refer to the book of Acts, I go, God help us. Because Uncle Will always used to say this, in order to have what they had, we've got to get what they got. In order to get what they got, we've got to know what they knew. What did they know that got to give of themselves in this way? What did they know? And I think they had firsthand experience of what God building his church looked like and what it was truly like to belong to something and to be able to contribute towards something. And this is the way that Jesus taught them and is still teaching us today. Romans 12:4-5. And so we see this picture, biblical picture, throughout Scripture actually, and I'm going to give us two illustrations of this, that the Lord adds, okay, then he joins together, all right, and then there's a role or a function that gets played out. And that's, in a sense, each one's part. And so the first one is where Paul's speaking to the Romans in Romans 12:4-5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so he uses something that's physical representation, because he knows we're human. This is what we're stuck with all the time until we pass into glory. Okay. And then he says, so in Christ we, as in the body, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So now not only do you have to love everyone in here, you have to come to a realization that, well, if God is adding you, or if you have actually accepted him as your Lord and Savior, the fact that you're walking in here means that everyone around you, have you ever thought about that? That you, I actually belong to Henry, and he belongs to me. Scary thought. I love the fact that I belong to Jesus, but I struggle with this one. I'm being honest that I struggle with the fact that I belong to Vian and Vian belongs to me. Because it's just this, like, how, God? But I want to say, wrestle it through and land. Don't get stuck on it. Because this is actually a representation of Christ's body, not our own ideas. Okay. It's a representation of his body. And so another illustration maybe, or maybe I'll use this first, is, you know, when we're added, we come as an individual in a sense, you know. And it's precious. My boy at the moment, I'm teaching him how to do what's called a shaka. I don't know if you know what. For surfers, that's this. It's an international, like, everything's good sign, okay. Or even just a thumbs up, okay. He's 2 years old, and he struggles to lift one finger without the other ones kind of coming with him. He has to physically kind of try and lift him up. And I thought, you know, that's such a beautiful picture because, in a sense, we added as individuals, but we never function just purely as individuals. We actually now function in conjunction with, because he's added us to something. And so we are now individually members of one another. So when you lift a finger, ultimately it's impacting. And I wish that Martin was here this morning, because I would love to have pulled him up and gone, okay, he's got a problem. He's got a slipped disc at the moment. Okay. And so Martin, I know you're going to listen to this. Okay. So I'm praying that Jesus is healing you whilst we're doing this. Please, Lord. You've got a slipped disc at the moment. And what he'll tell you is that the problem's here, but actually he's experiencing pain down in his calf over here. And so that's another great illustration for us. When we think of the body, you know, when one part is hurting, it causes the rest of us to actually, and so how important is it that actually when we walk in here, that we have the same heart, same mind, same vision? Because if there's some sort of kind of even rocky understanding of what God's building here, we'll never fully function or work or come to a greater understanding of what he's called us to and our part and our purpose in that. We need to be those who are moving together in unison, working together as individual members, working together to the same end. And so another illustration of this, and I didn't give you this scripture, but it's 1 Peter 2:5, if you can find it, NIV. God often refers to us, you know, throughout scripture, there's these cool terminology or illustrations of, you know, it's a soldier in an army. It's a runner in a race. It's a member in a body. And this one's actually a cool one for us. I don't know if you were able to find it. Oh, there we go. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. For what? To what end? To become a holy priesthood, okay? To offer spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand the fact that we're living stones, okay? We're living stones, and each one is fit perfectly next to another one and positioned alongside so that we can be something of the household of God, so that we can perform the function that he's asked of us, which is being the priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. And so, who are you if you're alone? And that's the difference. I actually want to do a preach one day on a rolling stone versus a living stone. Because I think there's a sense of, you know, we've made it okay to actually roll in and out as and when we please. And I think it's a little bit of a warped understanding of what God's looking for. And now what I'm not speaking about is, hey, Mike, yes, we're taking strain as a family, and I'd love to get away for a couple of weeks. 100%. I'd love that. We do that. Okay. What I'm saying is that actually recognizing that you have a place within the house, and that actually the structural integrity of this house is not there if you're not a part. And so what we're looking at is that membership. What does it look like to truly be part? Because this is a family, a place where people can belong and contribute. Is this making sense? Okay. Thanks, Miriam. One person. Is it making sense to the rest? Oh, okay, that's good. That's okay. And so there's not this loose affiliation. I'm wondering if I should go down this route. I sat with someone the other day, and they said, look, we struggle with the local church idea, but we are considering, you know, starting a home church. It's probably about the third conversation that I've had with someone since we've been here. And I said, that's wonderful. We do that on a Wednesday too, which is called community. And so throughout, you know, I think it's Acts 5, but, you know, they broke bread in one another, it's Acts 2, they broke bread in one another's homes. Daily they attended the temple together and broke bread in one another's homes. So it needs to be both. There needs to be an element of that we come together as the assembly, and there needs to be a smaller unit of when we get together and we enjoy fellowship with one another, and we break bread and we pray together. And so those are the two lungs of the church. And when one isn't functioning properly, the other one takes strain. And so conversation that I had was you know, because we primarily are more geared towards reaching people that wouldn't necessarily come into church. I would always recommend that you bring someone to community before you come to church. And they said, now, once they give their lives to the Lord, though, Mike, that's when we'd love to hand them over to you. And I said, so what you're doing is you're effectively saying that you're going to take a newborn baby at its most, the stage where it needs most nurturing, most love, most care. Their whole life has just shifted. And you're going to place them in a new environment where no one knows them. I said, I don't think that's what God's looking for. I don't see it in the Word. Secondly, you're expecting them to do something that you're not doing. And we're called to be His image bearers and His examples. I'm being a little bit more strong on this because I feel like some of the stuff has kind of got into us, and there are a few understandings. And even praying, Holy Spirit, that you would break down walls of understanding, that as we share around your word, God, that there would be a sense of you in us, building what you're looking for, the church that you died for, so that we can be presented to you, because it's about you, God. It's not about us. Please, Lord. It's also a place where we learn what our contribution is as a family. Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And so now we see, not only are we members of one another, but we're here to perform different functions within the body. Which is actually one of the most beautiful things about being a part of church. I love the fact that I don't look like you guys. And the fact that, you know, there's some things that I've seen other people do in church that I have the foggiest clue how they get around it. Or it's just like there is a grace to be able to do it, and I cannot do it. And some people would feel, some of you would feel like that if you had to grab this thing. And so I don't know why I'm this part, but this is what God's put on me. And I'm okay with it. I've got to come to terms with the fact, well, okay, God, if you cause me to be a mouthpiece, well, then that's all right. What has God put in you? And then Scripture tells us, use it to serve one another. That it's actually not for you. Again, the concept of we walk in, this is not about us. But by His mercy and His grace, we get to experience something of His glory when we get together and we present the offering that's pleasing to Him. And He showers it down on us. He pours it down on us by His mercy and His grace. But what has God put inside of you? And are you using it to serve one another? And I would love to touch on that more in time. It's like, actually, what is that? What's God put in you? You know? I get excited about it. I don't know if you do. But Ephesians 4, we see that Christ ascended and he gave gifts to men. And he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be teachers, some to be pastors. For what purpose? And this is 4:12. We're speaking about 4:12 conference. This is what it's for. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. This is not about the guy up front here. It's for the saints for the work of ministry. And so actually what we're asking you is not to go to a conference. We're asking you to get equipped for the works of service, for the works of ministry, to minister unto others, because he hasn't entrusted me the message of the gospel and of reconciliation. He's entrusted us that message. Each one carries it. Are we being faithful with that? Are we being faithful with actually growing in this area and being equipped in this area so that when we give given that opportunity, that we're portraying something of Jesus, not of us? So when we speak of that, of Ephesians 4:12 or the 4:12 conference or whatever, it's actually what we're speaking about, is the equipping. Okay. He gave gifts to men. And actually these, if we look at the gifts, you know, the seven that were mentioned in that verse we just read, prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leading, showing mercy, use it to serve one another. Each one has got something so unique. And it's actually a portion of Jesus that he left with us when he left the earth. So when you do it, you represent him and you glorify him. We need to view it in that way. Push past our own insecurities of what other people would think. Push past the fear of man of what it looks like to bring a word in church. Push past that. Ultimately, we're going to stand before our Father one day. And the words that we want to hear is, good and faithful servant, you used what I entrusted to you. Is this making sense? Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And we've got to come to an understanding that we're actually one part. We're one part. And each part's connected. And actually, unless we're connected, we're not growing or maturing properly. We're not growing or maturing properly. I remember, and I'm saying this in humility, but I remember being a part of joining a church and my family was saved and they had different understandings of what church looked like. And they were outside of church for a good amount of time. And we Stace and myself positioned ourselves to be able to go, God, we want to be used by you. That's it. We don't know what you got for us, but we want to be used by you. And actually, we're going to give of ourselves. We read in Acts, you know, that they gave of themselves. They devoted themselves to these things. And we see the wonder and the beauty of your church. We want to position ourselves accordingly. We did that. I can tell you right now, I look back at my family. And I love them to bits, and I'm not dishonoring them. But it's like where they moved from A to C, we moved a few letters further. I'm saying that in all humility. But there was a sense of I'm looking back, and I'm going, what happened? And I think it's because they hadn't given of themselves. They haven't postured or positioned themselves correctly within a house, recognizing that we're actually only one part, that alone will never reflect the fullness of him. But I need others. I need Henry to come and draw it out of me. I need Cesari to be able to go, come on, Mike. This is what God's put on you. Function. He's called you for this. I want to encourage you in this. It's actually why we call to, it says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints, okay? But rather, in a sense, look for every opportunity to encourage one another. Encouragement. It's very hard to encourage yourself. Huh? And actually we see, you know, one of the things we deal with most in the church is while being hurt by the church. And I think there's an understanding of hurt, and there's a process to this, and I'm not downplaying church hurt, okay? I think there's very real situations where the church could have done something better, and probably we could have responded differently. And there's two sides to this, but I do think actually it's a little bit more of a racial issue than we think sometimes, because, for instance, I had someone this week in the bank that said something that I overheard, and I thought, everything in my flesh wants to respond now, react. But Lord, I'm going to choose to respond. And I think it's the same, you know, sometimes where we categorize church where actually, well, I was hurt in church, so church is no longer the answer. Instead of what you've just done is we've just thrown all of church into that same category. And it's actually a little bit more of a racial issue than anything else. And so we need to push past the pain. We need to allow people into that space to be able to go, these are the things I'm suckling with. This is why. Would you help me through it? This is God's picture behind it. This is God's picture behind it. And again, I'm not downplaying that stuff might have happened. But it didn't change the fact that his answer is and will always be that this is the vehicle that he's chosen to display his glory to the world. And so we actually see the opposite, you know. Again, when we disconnect from the body, we actually lose our ability to function. So when we decide that actually this is no longer what I'm a part of, it's like chopping off a finger and expecting it still to be able to pick something up. It's disconnected from the body. It's not God's picture of how we should be individually members of one another, working towards the same end. And so we see the exact opposite in Acts 2:42, where people are given to fellowship. Fellowship meaning, actually, the Greek word for this is koinonia, which is a beautifully descriptive word. And it speaks a lot about actually our being in communion with one another, in partnership too. And so actually even in a non-biblical sense in the Greek lexicon, if you go and look it up, it is expressing the same emotions between a husband and a wife. Do you think of our connections and our joining together like that sometimes? That's hard for me to get around, but that's what that word means. Koinonia, the communion, a fellowship, that actually by the Spirit there's a joining together in holy communion that happens when we gather. It's beautiful. Hey? Am I the only one who thinks so? It's beautiful. Ina? Is it beautiful? Just checking you're awake. Cool. And so we've got to understand that actually our relationships with one another, because we're in covenant with God, we're in covenant with one another. And so our relationships are covenantal. And so that might sound strange to some, but actually I would ask that you ask God, what does this look like, God, to truly be a part of the church that you're looking for? So that actually when the world looks at us, they don't see a facade of different things that actually, well, this is that church and that's that church, and if you want that church, and we're building churches around people, but actually they look and they see a body moving as one, and they're going, that looks like Jesus. That looks like God's nature. So many different people, so many different aspects, but together, moving in unison with the same heart, same mind, same purpose. And so we need to come to understanding that there's also, we come under a spiritual covering. And without membership, who is actually responsible for who? Who's responsible for who? And I was kind of asking God, you know, like, how, because these are the things, you know, signing on a paper, and I'm in here, I'm, this is the thing I struggle with the most. Signing a paper, and why must I be a member of something? You know? Because this is, I mean, I struggled with this I said to Stace this morning, because she said, it's funny, I didn't struggle with that at all. So I said, yeah, but you didn't struggle with submission, I did. And I'm just being vulnerable before you, because actually, I did. It was like actually come out of my brokenness from a school setting days where there was a kick against anything that meant authority. So my first offense within church was with an elder. He was a teacher. I think I had offenses with every teacher in my school, seriously. And so I needed to push past my own brokenness, come to that understanding that, well, something needs to shift in my heart, God, and come to an understanding, well, this is actually what you've laid out in Scripture. And so I'm going to choose to believe you instead of my own brokenness. And so to illustrate this, you know, we have recently enrolled our son in play school with Henriette and Amanda. And you know, as a father, taking my son there, I've actually invested in a measure of trust and responsibility that actually Henriette and Amanda would care for. and love and protect Judah. And that actually, as he's surrounded by other kids of his own age that are quite different to him, and he's figuring out all these emotions and his pushbacks and what, that ultimately I'd be able to come and fetch him. And I wouldn't find, you know, that because of the trust that I've instilled in Henrietta and Amanda, because I've seen there's something of, well, we share the same values here, that I wouldn't arrive one day and my son is outside playing in the road. Or he's across at the park unattended. And I think the illustration that I'm trying to use here is when Jesus comes back for us, recognize that he has entrusted us to a local body. That there is a sense, trust that he has given to what we'll look at now, leadership, to be able to actually to govern and to care for and to train up and to disciple and to love and to guide. He's put that in place. And so sometimes I think we need to come out from that understanding, well, there's a loose affiliation, I can just do what I want. Because actually, I'd be super upset as a father coming back and seeing my son running around in the road where he could get hit by a car or something. He has placed people over us. He has given the body to come around us. And so that there is a covering. And so as God adds and joins us together to a local church, this should become family. This should become the family. That's the way that God's destined it to be. And so we see this in Acts 20, verse 28. Where Paul instructs the local elders, he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So pause. One of the things that we hear just around church context, and I wanted to touch on this, was, well, when I've given my life to the Lord, well, you know, it's me, Jesus, and I've got the Spirit. Recognize this is the Spirit. As we read there on the board, we can read it together. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock with which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So the Holy Spirit in this case has actually put the overseers in place. So I just want to come against that thought as well, because I hear it so much. Well, I've got the Spirit, yeah. I think actually if the Spirit is causing you to turn away from a church, okay, and now understanding that there's different churches, okay, and we need to look at which ones are healthy and which ones we can actually give ourselves to that represent Jesus, that actually you might be listening to a different spirit. And we need to test that. Because scriptures tells us there are different spirits. The Holy Spirit made them overseers. This is God's picture. This is God's house. Let's come back to the way that he wants it built. And so now we see someone is actually responsible here. We see elders keeping watch over specific groups of people in specific areas. And so the Bible often refers to us as sheep, of animals that are actually are without a defense mechanism, which in many ways represents us quite well. Although we kick and we bite sometimes and most of the time we just bleat, there is a sense that we're led astray quite easily by different things, you know. Isaiah speaks of that, you know, all have been led astray, but I've placed the iniquity of everyone on him, on Jesus. And so often the Bible refers to us as sheep. And a couple of weeks ago, just even using that illustration of we have an enemy. We have a roaring lion that is walking around seeking those whom he may devour. And so as sheep, outside of a covering, we are actually in quite a bit of danger. And that is the beauty and the picture and the wonder of being a part of church, is that actually God has orchestrated shepherds to come alongside and to look after and make sure that the sheep are together, that they're within a fold, that there's security, that there is oversight, that there is no wolves among us, that they aren't being torn apart by a lion, that we're staying within the bounds of Scripture, that we're worshiping in a way that actually honors God, that we're singing the right songs. These are all attributes that actually, we so often look at doctrine and then, what are we singing? Anyway, different. We won't go there now. And it's a picture of covering, and those keep watch, and we have those who keep watch. And so that's why it's one of the worst things that could happen is actually when people fall into unrepentant sin, that the Bible actually speaks about, that we take them outside of the church. We discipline them out the church. And that might seem like a foreign concept to some. But this, again, is biblical. It's asked us to discipline those outside of the church. And the picture here is actually you're out from underneath a covering. And Paul even says, hand them over to Satan. Harsh words. Hand them over to Satan for what cause? So that he may have a go at their flesh, so that their spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. And so actually when we consider anything around discipline, we need to come to an understanding of that the discipline is of those whom he loves. He wants to see people restored. And so that is the picture behind all discipline actually. Restoration. Always restoration. And so when we speak about this, you know, that the hope actually is that by being outside of the covering, being outside of that fold, being now in a sense vulnerable to those things coming at us in terms of predators and things that would come after us, that we would come to our senses and to be able to run back to the Father's house, run back to the family that loves and cares for us. That's God's picture, that we're sheep within a fold, and he's put people in place to be a help oversee and to shepherd well. And so to be outside of membership, and we'll end with this, who is responsible for you? And who's going to give an account? Who is responsible for you and who's going to give you account? It's like a child without a family. You're an orphan. In a sense, that chopped finger on the pavement, trying to resemble something, trying to matter for God, trying to actually, he's placed you within a family to fulfill a function. God's added people to a local context. And so, in this way, we see elders now having to answer the question, and this takes on a whole new call for us, Henry and myself, in terms of counting sheep. Most of you do it to fall asleep. That's the very thing that keeps us awake. Counting sheep. Lord, where is this person? Where is that person that you can give thought to right now that's not in the seat next to you? And why are they not there? Much of my mind is consumed around that. Why, God? Because I know that actually if they've given of themselves, if they've said, I want to be a member of this body, I believe God has added me to and joined me to, there needs to be a responsibility. Well, I'm actually holding an account for that person. I'm going to have to stand before God one day for myself and for those that I've led. And he's going to ask me, Joshua Eisenbentheim, how did you do with them? What did you do with those that you entrusted you to, Mark? And so one of the things we need to look at when we come into the local church, look at the leaders. And here it gets interesting. Look at the leadership. Hebrews 13:7, you can put it up. We'll look at two scriptures and then end. Hebrews 13:7 speaks about, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider their way of life and imitate their faith. Are they speaking to you the word of God? Is actually what I'm reading in my Bible and what they are speaking to me lining up, or is it their opinion? Now I'm putting our own heads on the chopping block here. I'm not saying that we're perfect. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. We will mess up at some stage, okay? And if you find the perfect church, don't join it. It won't be perfect anymore, okay? But in a sense, there needs to be the word of God, not my opinion. Secondly, consider their way of life. How do I manage my... I'm really putting my head on the block. How do I manage my household? The Lord spoke to me most of last year about that, an area that I was falling short in. How do I manage my household? Do I look after my wife? And my son. Does Henry honor and love Miriam like Christ loves the church? And for the others, what's God put on them? Mike and Shannon, deacons in the house. What's God called them to? Do we know what our Bible says about what they should be walking in? And are they walking in it? Look at their way of life. Imitate their faith. That's the thing that pleases God. Is their faith worthy of imitating? Or is this like, oh, I don't know if God's going to do this, so. No. Is there faith that's worth imitating? Are we still trusting God for things? Do we believe that a room full of people this side could impact this town and towns to come? Is there faith? I don't want to be a part of a church that doesn't have faith. I'm sorry. I have no interest in it. And then secondly, once you've considered and you've joined, Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And so now we see someone's actually responsible for you. And whilst that's a daunting thing for those who, it tells us as elders to be able to go, well, exercise oversight willingly, not under compulsion. Second half of that verse also says, please make it a joy to lead you. And so I would ask myself, even though I'm leading here, I recognize, well, I'm actually in submission to this man and actually a leadership team too, and those over me in the Lord. I'm not telling you to do what I'm not doing. I can tell you that. And at times it's hard because I do think that, well, I would do that differently, you know. But ultimately, God's put people in charge. And do we make it a joy to follow? And so consider your leaders. And then when you join, I would ask that actually you give yourself to them. Give yourself to your leaders. Submit and obey, because actually they're the ones keeping watch over you and are coming alongside and helping you care for you, love on you, disciple you, so that you can mature in everything that God's got for you. Does that make sense? Awesome. And so the heart behind the membership topic is generally we would end with this, okay? We're going through a season of This Is Church, which is a series that we work from. We try and do it at least once a year. We did it last year, September, and so it's about almost time. And why I've taught on this morning is so that we actually have a true and correct understanding of, well, what we're heading towards, not once we wind up there and go, oh my heck, now I have to sign the form. And to be honest, the form itself, the piece of paper, is worth nothing. That is not you. We often joke, yo, you're signing your life away. No, listen, that means nothing, okay? It really does, other than the fact that we agree on the things that we have journeyed together through the series and have walked out together, so that we agree on the values. But other than that, it's really it's a poppy act. By law, we actually have to ask you for if we have your cell phone number and your WhatsApp and your email address, and if a photo from 412 gets posted on the website, we could get sued for it. And actually, we're just trying to cover ourselves and honor the government in doing so. And so that's what the form is about. Okay, so don't be me. I sat on the steps for 10 minutes outside going, like, most stressful moment of my life. What am I giving myself to? Just seriously, I think this is where it comes to going, who's leading me? If Mike says it's okay. Henry says, okay. Seriously, I think we actually should have joined in heart long before the form came. And that's what God's after anyways, what Stace said this morning, the understanding of the heart. The heart of what this is about. And so, in landing, we're going to be doing the This Is Church session. We're going to do 2 weeks in church here, next week and the following week. Then we're going to do 3 in communities, and we're going to be communicating some of the shifts that are happening around comms and the life of God bursting in us at the moment, which is exciting. And then we're going to be doing 5 more, the last 5, on a camp. And if you are not within a community and you would like to be a part of this time, I want to ask, comm leaders, won't you just stand, new and old? Okay, I want to ask that you actually come and speak to the comm leaders, okay, and that you get actively involved in what that looks like, because it's going to be an incredible time. We're planning to go away to Robertson. There are only 60 spots, okay, and so we'd love for you guys to be involved, but go and speak to them. Because a lot of this has been communicated already within a community setting. Is that cool?